Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Yes, yesterday, and not unrelated to what you've just heard, yesterday on the programme, we received communications, indeed a lot of phone calls from women who were upset about what had been asked of them and what had been said to them in the confessional. It's the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, as it's now called. Now, Diane, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you, Joe?
Good. Tell us what happened. You went on a two-day silent retreat.
I did, yeah. I actually agreed to go to accompany my friend.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good time just for quiet reflection, and I suppose I've a lot of things going on in my own life at this stage. But went along with an open mind. I definitely believe in God. But I'm not I don't attend church every week or, so went along and, I spoke to, one of the monks on the second day and I told him, about my sexual orientation. And he listened to the story, and basically myself and my partner were both victims of abuse, which opens another can of worms here. But I talked about that, and he believed that God had been involved in bringing us together. But he said that it was certainly wrong for us to continue to have any kind of sexual relationship. He gave me a prayer of purity, and he said that I needed to go away and repeat this prayer. He then came to me on the second day, and he said, I don't think it's appropriate for you to actually take part, to go to confession. Because if you go to confession, you're asking for absolution, and unless you're prepared to change your way of life, then it's not appropriate. And I was refused Holy Communion and the Mass that evening as well.
Do you mean, were you told beforehand, or were you publicly refused?
I was told beforehand that I shouldn't go up. So,
this was at the beginning of this month.
Is just 7th of July. So, and like my friend who was along with me, her circumstances are different. But my friend had been married and seen her whole life mapped out with children and so on. We're both approaching 40. She's now having a baby on her own. And she was referred to as an adulteress when she went to confession. And then second question then she was asked, which just had no relation to what they've just called her. They said, do you masturbate?
Oh, that's so intrusive and interrogative.
We're both very strong, independent females, and I was very aware. I mean, there was about 9 of the people in total taking part in the retreat, and the other people were very, very devout Catholics who, you know, were just drinking in every word that they were being told. And the fact that it was silent, you know, I mean, we were the rule breakers. I suppose that we actually did, we broke that silence and talked amongst ourselves because of our own experiences. But other people who were there and were totally following the rules, I just, you know, I know that people go there in a vulnerable state, and it's just how to be judged in a certain way, the response that could have, you know, could be quite devastating.
And did this Catholic cleric, did he say, because it was the earlier item mentioned, that you could be cured?
Well, he felt that I wasn't in a place in my journey, that at the minute to go to a confession wouldn't be right. But if I continued to ask for purity, that he believed that I would come back and be in a different place.
And
I would be cured.
Okay, so insofar as you know, when he suggested to you that you pray to obtain purity, meant that you pray to change your sexual orientation.
I know that's what he meant. And you know, I sort of, it's taken really until now, Joe, to be quite honest. I think at the start we were both so kind of shell-shocked by the responses that we got for different reasons. and we almost tried to make light of it. But the reality was, this weekend, I was up with my partner and I had a few drinks, and I became very, very emotional. Yeah. And where I don't have any, you know, questions over my sexual orientation and where it feels completely right to me, it has raised issues of, is this wrong in the eyes of God? And where he, you know, the seed being planted with knowledge comes responsibility.
He said that as well, did he?
Yeah.
In other words, you now know it's in the eyys of him and the church, it's wrong, and therefore you can't continue it because
you're
not.
Yeah, so it's how you go forward from there. Yeah.
And this prayer that Brother Basil gave you, in fact, he signs it the 8th of the 7th, 19.
He did, yeah.
This
did,
prayer to obtain purity.
And he blessed it with holy word, water, yeah.
Oh, St. Joseph, Father and Protector of Virgins, to whose faithful care were entrusted Christ Jesus, innocence itself, and Mary, the Virgin of Virgins, I implore and beseech thee through Jesus and Mary, these dearest treasures entrusted to thee, grant me that, preserved from all uncleanness, undefiled of mind, pure of heart and chaste of body, I may always save Jesus and Mary in perfect chastity. Brother Basil, the 8th of the 7th, 19, he's based in France, and he comes and he comes for a fortnight apparently. The religious orders where the friary was, are they Franciscans?
Yes, they are. But this is the Benedictine monks that actually took the retreat.
Okay.
And in fairness, I didn't find he wasn't aggressive in his approach to me. But it's the impact that it has made. And I think the sense of response that I really was not keen to speak on radio.
Mm.
But when I realised that the number of people who called into you yesterday and had held stories for, you know, 50 plus years, I thought I have a sense of responsibility to put this out, because I think there's people who are attending these retreats and are much more vulnerable than I am.
Yeah. And as you say, your friend, two of you went on the retreat.
You were
9, 10, 11 people. You were 20% of
about 9 people in total. Yeah.
Your friend was asked was accused of being an adulteress. What a phrase.
That's right.
This day and age. And she was she was asked about intimate sexual matters.
Mm-hmm.
Did you confront him afterwards, Diane? Did you say too much?
No, and it was actually so unlike, because we're both strong people, but we were so shell-shocked by what happened. I think it's taken us until now to actually realise that this was not, it wasn't appropriate.
Well, I think most people would agree with you, Diane, to say the least. Now, we tried to contact Brother Basil, but we're told he's back in France.
Mm-hmm.
So, were there any other clerics on the course running it, or running their silent retreat?
There were three monks involved, and they were all Benedictine.
Okay. You wouldn't go back, I presume?
Ironically enough, I've actually been down at the beach beside the friary today because I have family overstaying.
Yeah.
But, well, I would feel to attend such an event again. I would struggle with where I was when I went initially, and how I would be questioned as to where how has my journey changed in the past year, which it won't change.
Yeah. But you like the idea of a silent retreat, as a lot of people do. Did you find?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just to find quietness in your mind, you know. I think our lives are so chaotic. And so, yes, I was open to that idea. And where I am not a church attender, I am a spiritual person who believes in God.
Yeah.
And so I was going with that kind of intention. But I think I just, maybe I expected to be met with more compassion than judgment.
Yeah. Stay with us for a sec, Dan. 51551 is our text number, joe@rt.ie. Tommy Roddy, your experience in confession, you were 15.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in North Roscommon, just on the Mayo border, and every summer, as a family, we used to go to Knock, which was only about 20 miles away. And as part of our day trip to Knock, before we go to Mass, we used to all go to confessions.
Okay.
And I remember there was a priest, and I remember it because I remember it clear enough in one level because something like this had never happened to me before. But the priest asked me, I was kind of like 14, 15 at the time, and he asked me if I had a girlfriend, and I said no. Mm-hmm. And then he just went straight away and he said, you know, when you're in bed at night, do you ever touch yourself? And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he just sort of all of a sudden brought it down, and I don't remember the exact details,
but
it was a bit of...
Because you still remember, you felt queasy, obviously. You felt this was inappropriate.
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah. Well, I mean, afterwards I remember thinking, you know, that was a bit strange, like that kind of a conversation, because, I mean, I don't know what sins I was confessing at that age, but I certainly wouldn't have mentioned girls or anything in that regard, but he just all of a sudden brought it down that direction, and I remember... There was, you know, a little bit of a discussion about the whole topic on that, and you know, so it was a priest in confessions in Knock, and which was kind of very strange because of all places, I mean, you know, in Knock, the holy shrine of Knock, for that to happen, but. That's the only time I ever had a bad experience or an odd experience.
Okay.
You know, in confessions.
Okay, Tommy, that's Tommy Roddy in Galway. Dermot Powers in Waterford, 51551. Dermot, go ahead. This is your mother.
My mother, Joe, it's just, the other day it was just coincidental that this topic jumped up on the radio.
Yeah.
And my sister was in with me the other day when we were talking, and she told me about my mother, that when she was about to be born, the doctors called my father and said, you know, it's either your child or your wife. And my father broke down and said, when he said, I have two young boys, he said, you know, like, he said, please save my wife.
Yeah.
And anyway, both of them, my sister lived. And but my mother, being a good Catholic, was in the confessional, and she decided to discuss it with the priest.
Right.
And she said, you know, she said, the doctor told me that if I have another child, I'll die.
Yeah.
And what about my husband? What am I going to do about my husband?
About
the sexual aspect of the relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, my mother never told this to me. I'm 72, Joe, but at that time, a woman wouldn't talk to her son about something like that.
Course, yeah.
And so he opened the door of the confessional. He said, whether you die or not, he said, it's God's will, he said. He got out of the confessional, caught my mother by the scruff of the neck, marched her out of the church here in Waterford, and put her, she said, you're not welcome here, she said, in this church until you do right by your husband. So my mother went to several other...
in other words, he was saying no contraception.
Exactly.
Under any circumstances.
Yes, and if you die, you die, it's God's will. And she got a bus up to Carrickinshore. She got the same answer up there. She got a bus to Dungarvan. Got the same answer there. Got a bus to Clonmel.
Mm.
And got the same answer there. And when my grandmother, who we all lived with my grandmother, when she was dying, the priest from the parish that my mother had gone to confession came up and said that he wanted to see my grandmother. And my mother said, you're not welcome here. She said, you threw me out of your church. She said, no, get out of my house.
She wouldn't let him.
What about? Yeah. She wouldn't let him go near my grandmother.
Wow.
And it struck me as to why we always went to the Franciscan Friary in Waterford.
That's for the reason. But Dermot, for your mother in Ireland, for your mother at that time to say to the curate who was coming to see her mother was dying that you're not coming into, that took some fortitude and strength and determination. And anger as well, as an upset, obviously.
Joe, I experienced that type of anger from a very old woman here. I'm living in Waterford here now, in what was a seminary. And during the abortion vote, there was an old woman came into the building here, and I brought her up. She couldn't find the polling booth. And she looked around, and she looked at me and said, this place used to be full of priests. And with that, she turned to me and said, didn't they get their comeuppance? Now, I thought it was sad.
Yeah.
But it was indicative of the type of that age group would went to there, she would be, I reckon the woman was well in her 80s. But, you know, but I mean, I remember going, Joe, too, with a friend of mine. We always used to go to confession together. And this young girl went to confession. She was getting married. And was inquisitorial, I suppose, is the word you use. She was forced into almost admitting something that she didn't do. He must, the boyfriend, he must have touched you there. He must have touched you here. Did he ever touch you here? Did he ever touch you there? That girl's sister had a similar experience to my mother, who was getting married and said to the priest, Father, we can't afford to have a child.
Yeah.
And got exactly the same type of answer that my mother got. That it's God's will. You know, it's so sad because there's so much craziness out there. I mean, I there was a thing in church the other day about it's an abomination to let Holy Communion touch your teeth. You know, this is something that Our Lady revealed to these visionaries. I said, what a load of crap. How could people believe it? But poor people do believe it, Joe.
Yeah.
It's just, it actually, this whole religious thing needs to be confronted. We need to say, hold up a second and examine it and in detail and see what type of crap is out there that's posing as religion. You know, it it's a complicated subject. But that was my mother's experience, Joe.
Okay.
And I, it's just, look, it's just so sad to think that that woman literally had to avoid churches, you know, for the rest of her life. But she was a strong woman, she felt, you know. But only for the Franciscans and more, but sadly are now gone. A great bunch of lads.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sadly are now gone.
Okay.
But you know, that's a story.
Yeah, some story, and there are some stories. Okay, Tommy Roddy, thanks indeed. Dermot Power, thanks indeed. Diane, how was your friend who was similarly treated and told not to attempt to receive communion? My God.
No, she was allowed. She was actually allowed to receive communion. I was not to receive it. I think, to be honest, I think she feels more a greater sense of responsibility because she was the person who asked me to attend with her. And I think she was more worried about the impact that it had on me.
Yeah.
Than actually considering how much it's affected her.
Yeah.
So I can't really answer on her behalf. But it's just the overwhelming thing is the fact that, you know, we are strong, we are independent, we are people with our own minds, very definitely. And yet it impacted on both of us. And we broke the rules of silence by even divulging to each other what had been discussed. If we had been totally law-abiding of, like, the other people who were taking part in the retreat, you know, maybe these are stories that we would have held on to for 50 years.
Why not?
Which is what coming back on your show, you know, that people have hidden these things for so long. Yeah.
Good point. Very good point. Okay.
So
as
much as I would not be a person to come on radio, I just felt I had a sense of responsibility given the response yesterday. That if there's anybody else out there who's had a similar experience to either myself or my friend, that I hope it can help somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Diane, thanks indeed. Thanks indeed. And thanks, as I say, it was your call yesterday that I mentioned earlier that sparked that avalanche of other stories. So thanks indeed.
Yeah.
And this episode happened to Diane, 3 weeks ago on a silent retreat.
That's right.
By the way, how did he discover that your sexuality?
Because I spoke to him. I spoke to him alone. So this was kind of in preparation for confession. You were given time if you wanted to go and speak to one of the brothers.
Yeah.
And so I went to speak to him. And during that time, I opened up about my sexuality.
Oh, okay.
And he wasn't, I mean, he definitely wasn't aggressive in his, he listened. But the message was very strong that it was not right to continue to have a sexual relationship.
Okay.
And that we could only remain as friends.
All right. Okay. Thanks indeed, Diane. Again, kind regards to you and your friend. That's Diane and telling us about that retreat just 2.5 weeks ago. 51551 joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I'm Joe at rt.ie. Maura Lee. Maura, good afternoon.
How you doing? Good afternoon.
Okay, tell us your incidents.
Okay, well, my mum had 12 children. And she was a lovely Christian. She was a Catholic, but she never pushed it on anybody. But anyway, she went into confession one day. I was with her.
Okay.
And the priest was one of these priests who asked questions rather than listened. And he said to my mother, are you married?
Yeah.
I said, I am.
Yeah.
Have you children? She says, I have.
Yeah.
He says, how many? She says, I've 12. And he says to her, have you ever been unfaithful? So, anyway, I was watching this. I couldn't hear anything. And my mum ran out of the church. And she took her handkerchief out of her pocket. And she was wiping tears from her face. And I thought she was crying.
Yeah.
But she was laughing her head off. And I said, what went on? So she told me. And then she says to me, as if I'd have the time or inclination. You know, she was laughing so much. And then I said to her, she says, Mom, she said to me, why did he ask me that? I says, Mom, you want your phone number? Go back in. And all I can say is that my mom, who had her 12 children in the time where she had no choice, was still able to take the church with a pinch of salt.
Okay.
Even though she attended church, and even though she was such a good Christian and such a good person.
She found his questions nothing more than laughable.
A pinch of salt.
And that was
exactly.
A level. Yeah.
Now, I had another friend, and when he was six or seven, he went to confession. And the priest said to him, do you ever play with yourself? And he said, yeah. He says, when would you do that? He says, when my friends go home. Oh, he says, where would you play with yourself? He says, I play with myself in the back garden. And he says, would you ever play with yourself in the house? And he says, yeah. And he says, where in the house? He says, in my bedroom. And the priest says, would you ever play with yourself in the bathroom? And he said, yeah, well, my friends have gone home, you see. So he was sitting down to dinner that night, and he told his father what the priest said.
Okay.
And his father picked up his dinner, smashed it down on the table, grabbed the child by the arm, dragged him down to the church, knocked on the door, the priest opened the door, and the father decked the priest.
Wow.
And the fellow told me he didn't understand till he was at least 16 why his father hit the priest. So that was a long time ago, okay, but still, he dealt with it that way. And he never explained to his son what was wrong. He just hit the priest. And the son found out for himself in school, probably, when he was 16 or whatever. So it really is how people are frightened by the church and how they can't deal with it. I was never frightened by the church myself.
Mm-hmm.
I did have my first communion and my confirmation, and even once thought, well, had nightmares because the nuns told us that if we were given a calling to the nuns, that if we turned it down, there was a mortal sin. So I didn't sleep for years because I was afraid I'd get a calling while I was asleep to be a nun. But I got over that. I'm married with four kids.
Okay. And there's no way that... there isn't really, from what you say and the way you said it, but there's no way the priest was misunderstood.
No, I don't think so. The child didn't know what he was saying.
Exactly.
He said to Daddy, I don't know, the Daddy said to him, were you at confession today? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, what did you say? And he said, this is what the priest said to him.
Yeah.
So the child didn't know what it was. He didn't know where it was leading. But the father understood it was leading somewhere. And he went down and dealt with it.
Yeah.
So the child never had another bother.
Okay.
But we were always taught at home that confession, that nobody else could absolve you of your sins. If you did something, if you hurt somebody, which is a sin, if you hurt somebody, it was with you till the day you made restitution or the day you died. So it was up to you to make the restitution, not up to somebody else to excuse you. And that's the way we were brought up, so... That was my understanding of confession.
Okay. Maura, thanks indeed. Thanks indeed. That's Maura, 51551. I should mention, by the way, I was thinking the phrase there, one phrase, Maury, is about her mother and so how she took things with a grain of salt and was well able to deal with that stupidity and pervy conversation by the priest. On All Curious Minds is what I'm thinking about, and that is the RTÉ tent at this weekend's All Together Now Festival, which is on in Portlaoise in County Wexford. And the RTÉ tent, you'll be well signposted to do it. As you know, on Saturday afternoon, on the main stage, the RTÉ Concert Orchestra, including performers like Feedom Drew, Glenn Hansard, Saint Sister, will be performing the songs of the wonderful Leonard Cohen, who died in November 2016. We had a most incredible programme here, all curated on the day by listeners in their very, very moving tributes to Leonard Cohen, who was 82 when he died. Well, at 1:30 in the All Curious Minds tent on Saturday, in other words, an hour and a half before the Leonard Cohen concert, I will be interviewing John McKenna, playwright and author and lifelong friend of Leonard Cohen, and he'll be talking about his relationship with Leonard. He'll be talking about his favourite Leonard Cohen songs, and he'll be nominating the album that is most moving and important to him, and I think people would be surprised by the choice. Everyone is welcome. It's free once you go into All Together Now, which unfortunately is completely and totally sold out, I'm told, for the 3 days. But if you are going to All Together Now, please feel free to come to the RTÉ tent at 1:30 on Saturday before the Leonard Cohen concert to hear John McKenna, I'll say as little as possible, but to hear John McKenna talk about the wonderful Leonard Cohen. 51551.